Literally, I will make a covenant is literally in the Hebrew, I will cut a cutting. And the reason scholars think that is a cutting is the cutting of the animal sacrifices after an agreement has been made. And that's when it says, I will make a covenant, it actually is literally, I will cut a cutting. That's why we can't translate the King James Version literally, or any language literally, because there's idiomatic expressions. You wouldn't understand that, would you? I will cut a cutting with the house of Israel. We have to say, I will make a covenant with the house of Israel. Now, following that, we find that there is, in the following verses, a guarantee of the perpetuity of the nation. Okay, great promises, will it happen? Will they still be around after all of this? As the years roll by, will they still be there when this, will they still be available? Will this happen? And God says, well, I'll tell you, I'll give you a guarantee. I'll give you a guarantee. Are you one of those people that lie in bed and worry whether the sun is going to rise tomorrow? No. You know what's going to happen, don't you? Tomorrow morning, the sun is going to rise. And you know the moon is going to go there through its phases. And you know pretty well that our solar system is going to operate pretty well, and our galaxy and the laws of the heavens and the ordinances. God said, that's my guarantee. That's my guarantee. Of course, there was one big interruption way back in the days of Noah, wasn't there? Yeah. The next big interruption is the second coming, tribulation, second coming. All the stars will fall from heaven. Every island will move out of its place. Great tribulation, day of the Lord. But here we have God says, it's on course, it's going to stay on course. Want to read that? Yes, come on. Verse 35, thus saith the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar. Yahweh Tzevaoth is his name, the Lord of hosts. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me. Not just individual Jewish people scattered all around the world and surviving. He sees a nation there. Thus saith the Lord, if the heaven above can be measured. I'm an amateur astronomer, very interested in what's happening. If heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth be searched out beneath. I'm not a geologist, but somebody can help us there. I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, says the Lord. Give me a crime. Give me a sin that the nation of Israel has committed. Of course, we can include ourselves. Give me one. Worshipping other idols, that's good. Something greater than that. Rejecting the Messiah and crucifying him. We will not have this man to reign over us. Every sin God knows about the nation of Israel. But he will not cast them away because of that. Oh yes, the replacement theologians and the amillennialists say they've had their day because they crucified and rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And God now is not dealing, will never deal with Israel again. Israel returning to the land has nothing to do with prophecy. It's just something that happens in providence. All nations get independence down through the ages. No, we believe. As you may know, in the 50s and 60s and 70s, there are many nations in Africa that got their independence. Israel is just another one of them. No, we believe that God sees the nation and the nation will survive for whatever they have done. And now there's another horrific event. Jesus said, you'll receive another one in his name and you won't receive me in my name. Who will that be? the Antichrist. But still, he says, for all that they have done, because he has these tremendous plans for them. And a guarantee of that, a physical guarantee, is the rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem. Verse 38. A point 8 in our notes. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. Here's another one, okay? That the city shall be built for the Lord, from the Tower of Hananel, and so on. There is a architectural indications given there. And then at the end of verse 40, it says, and it shall be holy to the Lord. It shall not be plucked up or thrown down. You know those words? Plucked up and thrown down? Yeah, Jeremiah's theme. Anymore, forever. Praise the Lord. That's the physical guarantee of the city being built. So for the new covenant we close. The new covenant message, it won't be like the old, it'll be different. We'll see that as we go through. There'll be an intimate knowledge of God. And there'll be an internalization of God's holy law. There'll be a radical change internally. And there'll be that wonderful forgiveness of sins. And that will be nationally. Get that, please. That will be nationally. Summarizing all of this that we've had a look at, we see in these passages forgiveness of sin. We also see in parallel passages related to this, the giving of the Holy Spirit. As a result of this, we see the obeying of God's statutes. We see also the restoration to the land. We see the repeated covenant formula, my people, my God. And associated with that is the Davidic covenant that we read of in chapter 22. So you see, that's contextual studies. Contextual studies. In Jeremiah. Book of Hope. 30 to 33. And then in the middle of the Book of Hope, we have the New Covenant Revelation. And all of these things connected with it. Get that in your mind and it will help you to appreciate the truth regarding the New Covenant, particularly as it relates to the house of Israel. The new covenant was made with the Jewish people, as all the covenants were. And in Romans 9:2, we find the privileges that they have is the covenants of promise given to Israel. We'll learn how we tap in and share those blessings a little later in our talk.